The resurrection isn't an event, it's a person. We've come here to celebrate Easter, but we're celebrating more than an event, we're celebrating a person. Even our refrain, he is risen indeed, is more about who rose than it is the event itself. The resurrection isn't an event, it's a person. Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't say, I perform resurrections. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Jesus doesn't just give life. Jesus is life itself, which is why death has no power over him. You know, they say in this world, there's only two things that are for sure and constant. That's death and taxes. And today, Jesus just whittled it down to one. Because Jesus went on to say, he says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. Today, we celebrate the resurrection. Today, we celebrate Jesus, the Son of God, who brings life in the midst of death. He did so almost 2,000 years ago, and he does so today as well. Have you ever wondered back upon the first Easter? I do all the time. What would it have been like? I mean, take for instance, we came here today. We know how the story ends, right? We left on Friday. He was in the tomb. We know we're going to come today. It's going to be all white. The tomb is empty. He is risen. Hallelujah. We know all of that. But on the first Easter, they didn't know what the day would unfold. As far as they knew, when they woke up that morning, Jesus was in the grave and he was dead. They had to be full of all kinds of doubts, despair, even discouraged at the events. In a sense, they were dying. They were dying on the inside. That is, until they encountered the resurrected Jesus. And when they encountered the resurrected Jesus, he breathed new life into them. So I wonder if perhaps, or maybe even probably, you can relate to one of those first followers of Jesus. Perhaps you can relate to Thomas. We've dubbed him Doubting Thomas, right? He's dying inside. He's dying in doubt. And frankly, who can blame the guy? You may recall, Jesus appears to the disciples the first time, and Thomas isn't there. So Thomas arrives late. He walks in. The boys gather around him and says, hey, Tom, guess what? Jesus is alive. We were just sitting here, and then, boom, he just appeared, and he's alive. And Thomas is like, yeah, you guys been hitting the Passover wine or what? Are you kidding me? Just poof, he's here, right? Now, he wanted to believe. No doubt he has been disappointed in the past, and he doesn't feel like setting himself up to be disappointed again. And beyond all that, who can believe this? He just appears. Last I knew, he was dead and in the grave. Now, all of a sudden, he's here. Finally, he says to him, listen, boys, he says, when I see the nail holes in his hand, if I can actually put my hand in his side, yeah, then I'll believe, because right now, I can't. He might want to, but he can't. Thomas speaks for many today. He speaks for many people today. They'd like to believe, they want to believe, but they got doubts. If we were honest with ourselves, every single one of us had had spiritual doubts at either one time or another in our life. It was that time that you prayed and prayed and prayed. You asked all your friends to pray. You went out on Facebook to get everybody to pray. And then a day passed and 2 days and it was a week and then it was a couple months and you're like, nothing. And you wonder, where's God? Is he there? Does he care? Maybe it's when you went off to college and there was this really, really smart professor and he said that anyone who believed in the Bible was really, really dumb. You thought, well, I don't know, he's really smart. Maybe he's got a point. All you have to do is look around at our world. Look at the things that are happening. Another terrorist attack, and when's the next one going to be? And you got to ask yourself, where's God in all this? Why isn't God intervening? It's easy to have doubts these days. It's easy to see where Thomas is coming from, and sometimes it's killing us because we want to believe, but we're kind of dying inside. My friends, Jesus is the resurrection. And if Jesus is the resurrection, then doubt disappears. Doubt disappears. He comes to Thomas and he says to Thomas, listen, Tom, you need my hands? Here they are. You need to feel my side where the spear went in? Go ahead. I want you to note, he did not reprimand Thomas. There wasn't a stern word to him. It was an invitation for him saying, I'm going to meet you where you're at, Thomas, whatever you need. But I'm going to invite you to stop doubting and believe. My friends, Jesus meets you where you're at today. If you're struggling with doubts, Jesus will meet you where you are today. He is the resurrection. And my friends, if Jesus rose from the grave, that validates everything that he ever said. He validates everything he ever said because Jesus is the one that said, listen, I'm going to die, and then after 3 days, I'm going to come back to life. Now, if anyone can actually pull that off, then you can take to the bank anything that they say. If they can say, I'm going to die and come back to life and then do it, that means everything they say has been validated. Now, I know some people say, yeah, but that's only if he came back to life. How are you going to be sure about that? I'll tell you what, I got 11 guys who died, who went to the grave saying that he came back to life. And what did that gain them? Did it gain them wealth? Hardly. Did it gain them notoriety? No, not really. It gained them a life constantly on the run, being persecuted, and finally, for most of them, they suffered a horrific death. Why? Because they claimed that Jesus rose from the dead. Nobody dies for a lie. How about St. Paul? St. Paul is addressing a group of people. There's some skeptics out there. He says, all right, don't believe me. He says, Jesus appeared to over 500 people. They're your friends and neighbors. They're still alive. Go talk to them. Jesus is the resurrection. He is alive. That means it validates everything that he said. And he's willing to meet you where you're at. He offers an invitation to you to let down your guard, to stop doubting, and believe so that he can breathe a fresh air of life into you. But maybe it's not doubting. Maybe you're caught in despair. Feels like you're dying in despair. That's where Mary was at. Mary Magdalene, scripture tells us that Mary Magdalene, that Jesus cast out 7 demons from her. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean to have 7 demons? I can't even imagine. And yet 7 demons are cast out of Mary. Is it any wonder then that for Mary, Jesus is everything? He's everything to her. He gave her new life. He gave her hope. And when Jesus died, hope died with him. And she's caught in despair. And if that's not bad enough, to make matters worse, she can't even give him a decent burial. She goes to the graveside and she appears and she thinks, someone stole his body. Just when she thought it couldn't get worse, it gets worse for her. She's dying on the inside. She's dying from despair. Mary speaks for many today. Many people are dying from despair. Now, you never know it this morning, right? Looking out at all your smiling faces. A lot of you put on the fancy duds today. I mean, heck, I even wore a tie. Come on, right? Got on your best dresses, your best smile. You even got all the jargon down. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You got it all on the outside, but you're dying on the inside. You're dying on the inside because your marriage is a shambles. You're dying on the inside because you're still replaying the phone conversation with the police officer last night about your son. You're dying on the inside because you don't have a job to go to on Monday. And then to add insult to injury, you come in here today and you look around and you think that everyone else has all got it together. Everyone else has got a perfect family, they got a perfect job, they got a perfect retirement, and you're dying on the inside. My friends, Jesus is the resurrection. And if Jesus is the resurrection, then hope is restored. It was restored with just one word to Mary. Jesus just simply had to call her by name. He said, Mary. She turned around, she saw Jesus, and she said, he's alive. He didn't leave me. I don't have to be alone. And in that instant, hope was restored to her. New life was breathed into her. Jesus has called you by name. He called you by name in the waters of your baptism, and he claimed you to be his own, and he gave you a promise. He said that he would dwell in your heart for all times. On this Easter, can you hear Jesus call your name? Can you hear him call your name and breathe new life into you? Maybe it's not despair. Maybe it's discouragement. There's a difference between the two. Peter knows. He's dying of discouragement. Peter, who's always brash. You read the Gospels. I mean, he's always a man of action, right? He's always quick with the words. He's always going to jump in. Where do we find Peter after the death of Jesus? He's sitting in the corner staring at the floor. All the rest of the disciples over here, Peter's just sitting there staring at the floor. Finally, in disgust, he gets up and he goes, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my former way of life. I can't do this anymore. You know why? Because Peter did the unthinkable, at least in his mind. He did the unthinkable. He had vowed to Jesus that he would die with him rather than deny him. And we all know, not once, not twice, but three times, he denied having any association with Jesus. And he's dying inside. As far as he's concerned, he doesn't deserve to be a disciple anymore. He's got guilt, he's got remorse, and he's got regret. Peter speaks for many. No. Peter speaks for all of us. This one's a blanket. Peter speaks for all of us. All of us have had to deal with guilt, with remorse. All of us, the very thing that we vowed that we would never do, we've done. And like Peter, we don't think that we can be a follower of Jesus. Somehow we've crossed the line. You say to yourself, if I can't forgive myself, then how can God forgive me? Friends, Jesus is the resurrection. That's what today is all about. Jesus is the resurrection, and forgiveness is given. That's why he came. That's why he lived. That's why he died. He went to the cross by choice, not by chance. He came into this world with one purpose, and that was to redeem you and to save you and to bring you back into a relationship with your Father. He took your place on the cross, and any punishment that you might deserve, he took it upon himself. And as he conquered death when he came out of the tomb, he also conquered sin. The resurrection says to you, no matter how shady a past you might have, no matter what you think that you've done, you are forgiven. Clean slate, fresh start right here today. A breath of life breathed into you. Because we celebrate today. We don't just celebrate an event. We celebrate a person. Because the resurrection isn't an event. The resurrection is a person. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus doesn't just give life, he is life, and he wants to breathe new life into you. That's why we say, he is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Would you stand up and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we can't thank and praise you enough that you would make the sacrifice of sending your Son into our world to redeem us and to save us. And Lord Jesus, Words cannot express our gratitude and our love for you, for laying down your life for us. But then you being life itself, it had no power over you. And so today we celebrate. We celebrate your resurrection, your life, and the life that you've given to us. I pray that you send your Spirit into the hearts of all who gather here this morning, that you would breathe new life into them. It's in your name we pray. Amen.